1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump had dinner with Elon Musk at Mar-a-Lago. It came after House Republicans, under pressure from Trump and Musk, scrapped a bipartisan budget deal to keep the government running past Friday night.
Musk posting on X, "This spending bill is a crime." The bill would fund the government through mid-March. Among other things, it includes $100 billion in disaster relief and billions more in assistance for farmers. But Musk says it's also bloated with wasteful spending. Republican leaders caught off guard by Musk's pressure play.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Southern California authorities detained 20-year-old Alexander Paffendorf. Investigators say he messaged the 15-year-old girl shooter at a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin, that he was planning his own attack. Unclear who did it, but a series of intense airstrikes shook Sana'a, rebel-held capital of Yemen. It happened shortly after a Houthi missile targeted central Israel. This is ABC News. Democrats hope President Biden, before leaving office, recognizes the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment that's been languishing for a half century.
In 2020, nearly five decades after the Equal Rights Amendment was passed by Congress, Virginia became the 38th state to ratify it. In the waning weeks of the Biden administration, congressional Democrats have been urging the National Archives to now certify the ERA as a valid part of the Constitution. But the Biden-appointed archivist of the U.S. says no dice, that Congress would have to restart a ratification clock that ran out in 1982. Republicans argue the amendment, which would block discrimination on account of sex, is now duplicative and could affect girls' sports and state abortion restrictions. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Sotheby's announced an anonymous bidder paid more than $5 million for a 155-pound marble slab that's the oldest known stone tablet inscribed with the Ten Commandments, plans to donate it to an Israeli institution. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks are headed east. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup Tuesday night in Vegas, the Milwaukee Bucks will head to Ohio to play the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Tip-off time Friday night at 7:20. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers have picked up a wide receiver. Jaden Ballard, 6'3", 200 pounds, has 1 year left of eligibility. He's leaving the Ohio State Buckeyes for Wisconsin, where he feels he has a better opportunity in Madison. Former Badgers offensive coordinator Phil Longo has a new job, returning to Sam Houston University in Texas as the head football coach. He'd been their offensive coordinator there a few years ago. NFL, it's the Packers and the Saints on Monday Night Football. For the second time this season, rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Seahawks Sunday night.
Yeah, he did an outstanding job. And then, I mean, shoot, he was one of our defensive players of the game, and he was also one of our special teams players of the game. So, I mean, he had three tackles on kickoff.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Variety reports that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced the shortlist for the Oscars in 10 categories. Emilia Perez led the way with 6 nominations, and Wicked came in second with 4. Voting to determine the actual nominations will take place January 8th, with nominations being announced January 17th. The 97th Oscars ceremony will air March 2nd of this coming year. Superscribe Taylor Sheridan has received criticism for his role of Travis on Yellowstone. The show's creator has come under fire on social media, with fans saying that they thought it was lame that he wrote himself onto the show and made Bella Hadid his girlfriend, calling it totally unnecessary. Just for the record, folks, Taylor Sheridan has written himself onto other shows as well, including Lioness and 1883. Maybe he's just created so many shows, he's running out of actors. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tomorrow for some snow showers that start late tonight and continue through tomorrow night. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches. Low tonight, upper teens. High tomorrow, near 30. Some blowing snow with a gusty breeze. Much colder temps for the rest of the week. It's 25 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, world-famous podcaster and comedian Jimmy Pardo makes the popcorn pick of the week. And performing live in the studio are the Doctors in Recital. That's how you light it up holiday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy, pretty little thing. This April bitch, you got.
What's up, everybody? How are you this hump day Wednesday? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you've got your Civic Media app downloaded and ready, because at the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to hit you with the keyword of the hour for Civic Media's grown-up gift list text-to-win sweepstakes contest. When you get that keyword, you're going to want to text that in via the app and only the app to qualify to win either $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. We'll give away that prize during the 4 o'clock hour, and your text will also register you to win one of our grand prizes in our grown-up gift list text-to-win contest. Those grand prizes include robot vacuum, an espresso machine, luggage. We got all kinds of good stuff. If you want to learn more about your chances to win and the prizes, go to civicmedia.us/grownup gift list. And good luck to each and every one of you, especially in this holiday season. Well, where we left off, everybody, was the return of none other than Herschel Walker. Of course, we all know Herschel Walker as the NFL star that he was, as well as college star. But he also, if you will recall, had that ill-fated attempt to become a senator from the great state of Georgia. He lost, and lost what I would call, after an absolutely humbling campaign, where all sorts of issues came up about Mr. Walker's ability to tell the truth, operate from a policy and belief standpoint in a way that is consistent with his own personal life. And despite all of those failings, and I'll detail them in a moment, I was absolutely blown away to hear that Donald Trump will be appointing Mr. Walker to be the U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas. And perhaps we should, before we get into Mr. Walker's qualifications or abject lack thereof, remind ourselves that the Senate last year sent back President Joe Biden's nomination of former Georgia State Representative Calvin Smyer to be the ambassador to the Bahamas. And so this ambassadorship has been vacant, according to the U.S. State Department. Now, I don't know anything about Georgia State Representative Calvin Smyer, but I wonder if he can claim as many of the following qualifications, with air quotes around it, that Mr. Walker can. Shall we recall what occurred during Mr. Walker's Senate campaign? What came to light during his Senate campaign? There was this, an allegation by his ex-wife that he held a gun to her head and threatened to kill her. Yeah, that sounds like ambassador material. also that he pitched himself as a very staunch anti-abortion candidate. Except that two ex-girlfriends came forward and said Mr. Walker had pressured them to have abortions. He denied those claims. He also criticized absentee Black fathers a lot. I mean, a lot. Oh, and then he had to clarify in public exactly how many children he had, because reports surfaced that he had had three children that he had never spoken publicly about. Yes, yeah, so that, you know, real family values kind of candidate. Then there was this. His son, during that campaign, denounced his father's candidacy, saying in a video on social media, quote, "We were told he was going to get ahead of his past and hold himself accountable, but none of that happened. Everything's been a lie." And he had to walk back a few lies that he told on the campaign trail as well. Remember this? Claimed to have graduated in the top 1% of his class at the University of Georgia. Remember that? But at the time, he hadn't even graduated. I mean, how does someone think that won't be figured out? Like, you either have a diploma or you don't. And even if you do, I don't think it's a good idea to claim that you graduated in the top 1% of your class. He also lied and claimed to have been a member of law enforcement. My goodness. All of this is just absolutely appalling. This man is not fit to be the dog catcher, let alone a United States ambassador to Bahamas. And just so that we understand, according to the State Department, the Bahamas are described as a country whose political stability is, quote, especially important to the United States due to our long shared maritime border. And it is especially important to address transnational criminal activity and irregular migration. You know, the thing that Donald Trump ran on. Yeah, he's going to put Herschel Walker into an ambassadorship with a country that has a critical relationship with the United States over our shared maritime border, transnational criminal activity, and irregular migration. Ah, perfect. And Donald Trump's announcement of Mr. Walker as the ambassador to the Bahamas, he noted that he was an NFL great and had competed on the 1992 U.S. bobsled team. Last time I checked, diplomatic service wasn't conditioned upon, you know, athletic prowess, but maybe I missed that somewhere. I don't know about you, but that one was an additional surprise in today's current events that dropped my jaw a wee bit. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I am your lawyer on the radio, your economist, your buddy that helps you unpack the day's news. And of course, I would be remiss, and this show would not be complete, if we did not provide updates on two of the most widely reported events that continue to dominate headlines across the country. The first being that tragic and fatal school shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. We continue to learn more about that shooting. We have some sound from the last press conference about that shooting. Let's go ahead and take a bit of that sound now. First, here we are again. This is Chief Sean Barnes talking about whether or not they understand more about the motive for the shooting. Let's take a listen.
All patient status remain unchanged. The 911 calls are the record of the 911 communications center, and their standing operating procedure is not to release documents in open and active investigations. Again, we are working to authenticate the documents that you see online that some are referring to as a manifesto. And as soon as we do that, we will let you know.
So again, referring to documents circulating online, there have also been an incredible amount of rumors spread online. I do want to just take a moment here. One of the rumors being spread online was that the shooter, a 15-year-old female student at Abundant Life Christian School, was transgender. That is false. That is untrue. The other rumor that I saw circulating online, which is also unequivocally false, at least given the information that's out in the public right now that we're aware of, is that this was somehow a religiously based shooting or that there was some antipathy towards Christians. There is absolutely no information that has been publicized, that is verified, that that is true at all. So very important that we not engage in these speculative exercises which help transmute and promote this misinformation. Here's some more about the document that has been circulating online. Let's take a listen.
We know a document has been widely shared on social media. At this time, we cannot verify its authenticity. We have detectives working today to determine where this document originated and who actually shared it online. At this time, we cannot verify the document. We ask that you not share the document or spread any information that may be false. Our department will provide an update on this document when we can.
So very important. And in response to a question about whether or not the shooter was bullied, let's take a listen. Again, this is Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Identifying a motive is our top priority, but at this time, it appears that the motive was a combination of factors. Again, we cannot share that information at this time because we do not want to jeopardize the investigation and those who are currently cooperating with us.
I can also share that court documents from July 2022 show that the shooter was enrolled in therapy and living primarily with her father. Her parents had married in 2011, 2 years after she was born. They had divorced in 2014. They shared joint custody of their daughter, and they remarried again in 2017 and again filed for divorce in 2020. So there has been some reporting about, you know, these family dynamics that were going on. Her father had frequently posted about his daughter, the shooter, on Facebook, including an August post showing the girl holding a firearm at the shooting range. In the comments that accompanied that photograph, her father indicated that this was his daughter and that they had both joined the North Bristol Sportsman Club earlier this year. Again, let's stay away from the misinformation. Let's wait for the police to engage and complete their investigation. So very important that we not spread misinformation. Here is some context of where this sits in the broader lens. Over 31,000 students between kindergarten and 12th grade have experienced a school shooting in this year alone. 31,000. That's according to a data analysis by the Washington Post. 13 people have been killed in school shootings in this country since the start of the year. 21 states have had school shootings in this year, in addition to the District of Columbia. And there have been 426 school shootings since the Columbine High Massacre of April 12th, 1999. I think we need to do something, don't you? My name's Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll give you the updates on the Luigi Mangione indictment that dropped yesterday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere because we got some fun stuff planned for the bottom of the hour. We're going to be listening to some of our favorite holiday hits, but also some of the weirder ones and the most annoying holiday songs, at least by my ear. You're going to want to hang out and participate with us. The phone and text lines are open, 855-755-4842. But before we get there, I wanted to spend just a couple more minutes following up on the press conference that occurred live yesterday, held by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg on the Luigi Mangione indictment for the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO that happened a couple weeks ago. I wanted to revisit this because one of the things that stood out to me that I mentioned while we were on the air yesterday is that there was a first degree homicide charge that occurred because of a terrorism enhancement. So I wanted to explain to you all what's going on under New York law, because I don't think it's been particularly well broken down in most of the media. As many of you know, I am an attorney. I practiced law for many years in New York City, so I'm licensed to practice in the state of New York. And one of the things that not everybody understands about New York law is that intentional homicide in New York law, that gets you a second degree murder charge. Okay, that's the way it works in New York State. To garner a first degree homicide or murder charge in New York State, you have to have some specific statutorily defined enhancement or a particular, what I would call, aggravating set of facts to take the charge from a second degree murder charge to a first degree murder charge. Those things in the state of New York include, did the murderer include torture? Was it a murder for hire? Was it a killing of a police officer? Was it a killing of a critical witness in another proceeding? Those are all those aggravating facts that will take a murder charge from second degree to first degree in New York State. The other set of facts is that it was an act of terror designed to provoke fear, to intimidate, to to influence the lay public, regular people on a particular issue of public policy importance. That is what garnered Mr. Mangione the first degree murder charge. Again, he was also charged with two counts of second degree murder. There's a variety of gun charges, and there was also at least one charge that related to his possession of false identity paperwork. So all of that is what's going on with Mr. Mangione's criminal charges. Again, the indictment coming down yesterday. Wanted to listen to a little bit of what District Attorney Bragg has had to say. Let's take this first explanation of the original charges. Again, this is District Attorney Alvin Bragg. District Attorney Alvin Bragg, this is the press conference yesterday discussing the original charges.
Here we go.
We are here to announce that Luigi Mangione, the defendant, is charged with one count of murder in the first degree and two counts of murder in the second degree, including one count of murder in the second degree as an act of terrorism. For the brazen, targeted, and premeditated shooting of Brian Thompson, who, as you know, was the CEO of United Healthcare. This case was made possible by the collaborative efforts of the phenomenal public servants you see before you today, and so many others who are not here.
I'd also like to take a listen to what District Attorney Bragg had to say about the fact that Mr. Mangione used a ghost gun. A ghost gun. Let's take a listen to this sound again. This is yesterday's press conference from Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg.
Tell you a bit about the facts. On November 24th, we allege that the defendant arrived in New York City to murder Brian Thompson. After the defendant arrived in New York City on a bus at Port Authority, he checked into the hostel on the Upper West Side using the name Mark Rosario with a fake New Jersey ID. On the morning of December 4th, the defendant left the hostel, just after 5:30 a.m. and traveled to Midtown. For nearly an hour, we allege the defendant waited in the area near the Hilton Hotel, waiting for Mr. Thompson to appear. From 6:38 a.m. to 6:44 a.m., the defendant stood across from the entrance of the hotel on West 54th Street. When he saw Mr. Thompson, he crossed the street and approached him from behind. We allege he then took out a 9mm 3D printed ghost gun, equipped with a 3D printed suppressor, and shot him once in the back and once in the leg. The defendant then fled northeast on 54th Street and took an e-bike uptown before getting into a taxi that took him to West 178th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. On December 9th, the defendant was spotted at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. The local police were notified, he was arrested, and he was found with a 9mm handgun, a suppressor, two ammunition magazines, and the same fake New Jersey ID he used at the hostel.
Again, that was District Attorney Alvin Bragg yesterday discussing the charges against Luigi Mangione. Great question from Lama out of Madison. How do you get charged for two second degree murder charges when you only killed one person? Yes, the vagaries and bizarreness of American jurisprudence. Often one set or one act will result in multiple different charges, even charges that get after the same thing. In other words, a first-degree murder charge and two second-degree murder charges, because there are different specific elements of these different types of murder. So there are different types of second-degree murder, all of them intentional killings under New York state law, hence the two charges for second-degree and a first-degree murder charge. But when we come back, everybody, we're going to turn the page and we're going to have a little bit of holiday joviality. I know I need a little break from all this politics. So keep it locked. We'll discuss your favorite holiday tunes and some of the more annoying ones out there when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump had dinner with Elon Musk at Mar-a-Lago. It came after House Republicans, under pressure from Trump and Musk, scrapped a bipartisan budget deal to keep the government running past Friday night.
Musk posting on X, this spending bill is a crime. The bill would fund the government through mid-March. Among other things, it includes $100 billion in disaster relief and billions more in assistance for farmers. But Musk says it's also bloated with wasteful spending. Republican leaders caught off guard by Musk's pressure play.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Southern California authorities detained 20-year-old Alexander Paffendorf. Investigators say he messaged the 15-year-old girl shooter at a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin, that he was planning his own attack. Unclear who did it, but a series of intense airstrikes shook Sana'a, rebel-held capital of Yemen. It happened shortly after a Houthi missile targeted central Israel. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks are headed east. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup Tuesday night in Vegas, the Milwaukee Bucks will head to Ohio to play the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Tip-off time Friday night at 7:20. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers have picked up a wide receiver. Jaden Ballard, 6'3", 200 pounds, has 1 year left of eligibility. He's leaving the Ohio State Buckeyes for Wisconsin, where he feels he has a better opportunity in Madison. Former Badgers offensive coordinator Phil Longo has a new job, returning to Sam Houston University in Texas as the head football coach. He'd been their offensive coordinator there a few years ago. NFL, it's the Packers and the Saints on Monday Night Football. For the second time this season, rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Seahawks Sunday night.
Yeah, he did an outstanding job. And then, I mean, shoot, he was one of our defensive players of the game, and he was also one of our special teams players of the game. So, I mean, he had three tackles on kickoff.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Peaky Blinders, who are anxiously awaiting the feature film, will be happy to know that principal photography is done. The film is called The Immortal Man, and Cillian Murphy is back in the lead role as Tommy Shelby. Peaky Blinders is the story of post-World War I gangsters in Birmingham. The show ran for six seasons between 2013 and 2022 on the BBC and Netflix. Fans of the 28 Days franchise will be happy to know that 28 Days Later will finally be available to stream. The film has been curiously absent from streaming platforms, which is not good for people who want to catch up before the release of 28 Years Later. The second installment, 28 Weeks Later, is available to stream, but Danny Boyle's first film of the franchise has been offline since early 2024 after being purchased by Sony. The film is now available to stream as of December 18th. 28 Years Later is set to hit theaters in June of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little light snow developing in the overnight, and a winter weather advisory will go into effect and last until early Friday morning. Low temperatures in the upper teens. Thursday, snow, accumulations of 1 to 4 inches, highs near 30. Right now, it's 25.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at the day's headlines, and we're getting down there. Your final chance to win Growing Up Gift List, Text to Win Contest, and fabulous prizes. We'll tell you how to do it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Do you have a favorite holiday song? I want to know what it is. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you have a most annoying holiday song? I want to hear about it. 855-752-4842. It's time to have some fun. We are almost into the holiday break. And since we're talking about holiday music, let me tell you what we got planned for you all on Christmas Eve right here on Civic Media. There is going to be a special episode of the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve. I'm going to share with you some of my favorite holiday memories. Then we're going to have special pre-recorded interviews and segments that will get you on the holiday mood. The fun will continue rolling from 4 to 6 p.m., a holiday special episode of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. He's going to bring you all kinds of fun Christmas-themed content. And then at 6 p.m., starting on Christmas Eve, Civic Media will have all of your holiday musical needs covered. We're going to go all Christmas music for 24 hours and a little extra, starting again 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. So keep it locked across the Civic Media radio network for your holiday news, sports, and weather updates. And of course, Christmas music starting at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve all through Christmas Day. I know I'll be tuned in. I hope you will as well. But let's get down to the heaviest business of today, and that is some holiday tunes. We're going to start out with some of the annoying ones because I don't know about you all, but I think it's probably a pretty long list. We've got some of you weighing in already on the text and phone lines. Dennis from West Allis saying the most annoying Christmas song in all the world is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Well, Dennis, we have you covered, friend. Let's all remember and remind everybody exactly what annoying Christmas song we're talking about. Here's a little flavor of this most annoying Merry Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas from Mariah Carey. Let's take a listen.
Don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.
Oh my gosh, turn it off. I might not care about the presents under the Christmas tree, but I care if you turn that damn thing off. Yes, Dennis from West Allis, we will turn that off. The only version of that song that I find remotely palatable was that little kid that sang it in that Hugh Grant? That little Christmas movie. I think it was Love Actually, that film from like way back in the day. He's got a crush on this girl at school and he gets up on stage and he's all freaked out and like sings it in little kid falsetto. That's a version of that song I can tolerate, but every time I hear Mariah warming up her pipes for that one, whoa, got to change the channel. Steve from Milwaukee saying he cannot stand Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Steve, I hear you, man. It is one of the annoying ones as well. Folks, if you want to get in your two cents about your favorite Christmas tunes or the most annoying in the holiday rotation, Cardi and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Roger from Stevens Point, listening on WFHR. What's up, Roger? Happy holidays to you. His most annoying Christmas song, Last Christmas by Wham. Well, Roger, we got you covered, my friend. We got a little of that coming right at you. Let's remind everybody what we're talking about here. This is Wham's Last Christmas. Roger, That bug's for you, my friend. Listen, I'm a George Michael fan. I'm a child of the 80s. But yeah, that one is an earworm of earworms, isn't it, though? Woo-hoo. Roger calling out his favorite Christmas album, Christmas with Eddie Arnold from 1962. I haven't heard of that one, Roger, and I am going to go check it out. That's what this show and this last half hour is all about. Let's share some musical knowledge, some inside stuff. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got Jack from Merrimack on the phone lines. Jack from Merrimack, you got a favorite holiday tune or a most annoying candidate?
Well, I got both, actually. The most annoying one, for me at least, is the Chipmunks Christmas song.
Jack, just hold on right there. We got you covered. Let's hit them Chipmunks, Cardi.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin.
Oh.
Alvin!
Okay! Christmas, Christmas time.
All right, enough. Oh, my goodness. The Elvin gets me every time, Jack. I agree with you. Can't stand the Chipmunks. Do you have a favorite Christmas song, Jack?
Well, I'm no Bing Crosby, but I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. One of my all-time
favorites. Every Christmas card I write. Yes, Jack. Do you love the movie, too? Are you a white Christmas movie fan?
I like White Christmas, but I like the original, which was Holiday Inn also, even though it's politically incorrect in a lot of places.
It hasn't aged super well, but the overall theme, I think, is one worth remembering. Jack, we got you covered. We do have a little bit of the Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. He might have been kind of a jerk, but boy, his vocals are smooth as silk. Let's take a little listen to Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Now, I don't know, Cardi, if that's actually Bing Crosby singing that. That is a white Christmas version, but that is not the OG Bing Crosby. He's down a few octaves there. He had those smooth, low, dulcet tones. Who was that, Cardi?
He was enlisted in the Bing Crosby playlist, so it was on his playlist.
Well, that I will tell you this straight up, and this, my friends, these are the generational differences that we always love to enjoy. I know what Bing sounds like. That ain't no Bing Crosby, but I do love a little Bing Crosby singing the White Christmas. Let's see here. Llama from Madison chiming in with, he hates Let It Snow. It is a little bit annoying of a tune. He also hates the snow, and he sings it to annoy everyone around me. Well, I'm chuckling on that count. Llama from Madison as well. Angie from Monroe saying Christmas Eve is her birthday. She'll be listening while she works. I hope whistling while you work as well to all of our Christmas music. From me to you, Angie, happy, happy birthday. And happy holidays to you. She loves her job. She's getting extra money working the holidays. I love it. She is a huge fan of all of the old cartoon movies on the U of the Tube. Yes, I enjoy some of those old ones, even though some of them, again, maybe haven't aged all that well. So I have to say my number one, like, cannot tolerate this song. It is nails on a chalkboard bad to me. Is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Why don't we take a little listen? Because I have to be tortured right along with all the rest of you. Just a little flavor of the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Okay, so let's just recap. Grandma drinks too much eggnog, gets run over by a reindeer, and then the song singer and Grandpa are saying, thanks Santa, because Grandma's dead. Oh, my Lord. And it's so annoying. Listen, it became a huge cult hit. It was first released independently in 1979, but I have the super deep background on Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Information that you all desperately need to know to be armed with trivia for your Christmas festivities. It was a cold and snowy night in November of 1978, and the members of Randy Brooks' country band, Young Country, found themselves stranded after a gig at the Hyatt Hotel on the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe. The brakes on their van were frozen, and with nowhere to go, Mr. Brooks and his bandmates went back inside to watch the next act, a bluegrass group fronted by the husband and wife duo of Elmo Shropshire and Patsy Trigg. Elmo and Patsy then invited Mr. Brooks, a 30-year-old aspiring songwriter from Dallas, on stage that night and asked him to play one of his favorite novelty tunes. He'd written Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer the year before after hearing a holiday song by Merle Haggard titled Grandma's Homemade Christmas Song that really annoyed Mr. Brooks. He said then, I was tired of that country song where they set you up like a relative who gets killed in the third verse, recalled Mr. Brooks, though Mr. Haggard's lyrics only implied that the beloved grandmother was deceased. Mr. Brooks thought, it's more honest to admit that grandma died up front. And whenever he played this song, the subversive ditty about a grandmother who gets drunk on eggnog, waggers out into the night, and gets killed by Santa's reindeer, the audience whooped and cheered. And so Mr. Shropshire and Miss Trigg, who just met Mr. Brooks that night, asked him to teach them that song that night backstage after the show. Folks, that is the birth origin story of what is Maggie Dawn's number one most annoying Christmas song, Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer, by a Reindeer. Elmo and Patsy then went on to independently release the song in 1979. In 1983, it became a number one hit on the Billboard Christmas Hit Singles chart, beating out Mr. Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Yes, Bing went down to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, as well as Bobby Helms's very famous Jingle Bell Rock. It matched that feat again, hitting number one on the Billboard Christmas Hit Single chart in 1984 and 1985. And y'all, it charted again in the Billboard Top 100 Christmas Songs in 2016. It took on a life of its own when a DJ out of San Francisco put it on rotation. It became a little bit of the shock jock playlist because of the fact that it's, you know, the singer and grandma, grandpa celebrating that grandma, in fact, did get run over by a reindeer. I hope you all feel a more deep and enriched sense of the artistry around Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer with all of this deep cut background on what is, again, my most annoying Christmas song of the season. We want to hear more from you, your favorites. We'll continue to dig into some of the weirdest Christmas songs out there, as well as your top hits when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're having a little fun this half hour. Join us, why don't you? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, dreaming of an orange Christmas. Tyler, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll read your text on the air. Anyways, Joshua from Wausau says his favorites are Bing Crosby and David Bowie. I love a little David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy. What a great tune. Cindy from Wausau says one of her favorites is Barry Manilow singing Jingle Bells. We come back with some of your favorites and a couple of weird tunes you may not have ever heard of. I know I hadn't. Right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and Clear Skin, count me in.
with Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're sticking with us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're taking it easy this half hour, maybe a little annoying, little earworms for everybody out there. We're talking about some of our favorite holiday hits, as well as some of the more annoying and strange songs. There's lots of them. If you want to get in your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or a quarter's worth, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Text and phone lines are open from WNMDX. One of our listeners saying, John Denver's, "Please, Daddy, don't get drunk for Christmas." Is that one of your favorites or one of the more annoying ones? Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, "I do now understand your joke, my friend. I'm not going to repeat it on the air, but thank you for making me laugh." Somebody texting in from WMDX on a 608 line, "Tiny Tim's Santa Has Got the AIDS This Year." Yeah, that is one of the more weird ones. I mean, if Tiny Tim himself wasn't weird enough, he then cut that track. Let's see. Chuck from East Troy. His favorite is John Lennon's "So This Is Christmas." So, Cardi, let's give Chuck from East Troy a little of his favorite Christmas song. Let's take a listen. A little bit of John Lennon's "So This Is Christmas."
Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. So this is Christmas. I hope you have fun.
I hope you have fun. Chuck from East Troy. Hope you have a wonderful holiday, my friend. Let's wrap that one on. Mike from Spring Green, you are on the air. You've got a weird Christmas song. What you got for us, Mike?
Well, one of the weirdest ones I ever heard was "Santa Claus Is Coming to Town" by a guy named Joseph Spence. And you have to hear it to believe it. It actually scared some of the younger kids in our family. It is
weird. So weird. Now I know what I'm doing immediately after the show, and that is Googling John Spence. See, what was the song again, Mike?
"Santa Claus Is Coming to Town," and it's probably on YouTube, and it needs to be heard.
Okay, I will check it out. Do you have a favorite, Mike?
A favorite? Yeah, I like Oh Holy Night. I think that's a nice tune. I always like that one.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Drive safely, my friend. Sounds like you're in the car. And happy holidays to Mike in Spring Green, to you and yours. Let's see who else we've got on the text list. Corey from Watertown, you've got one of the weird ones that is also annoying. It's like a double word score. Dominic the Donkey. Cardi, we got it all queued up and ready to go just for you, Corey from Watertown. Let's take a listen to the truly weird and very annoying Dominic the Donkey.
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, la, la.
I cannot take any more. Corey, that one's for you, my friend. Bill from Green Bay says, next, nice work on the black flag. A little shout out to Cardi for our in and outro music there. Corey from Watertown also singing one of the most annoying. He's saying Dominic the Donkey is more annoying than Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I don't know. They're both pretty gosh darn annoying, but I may have both of them beat. I may just have it because somebody decided to lay down an ultra repetitive electronic dance song called Electronic Santa Claus, and it is truly terrible. Take a listen.
The Electronic Santa. Electronic Santa's Electronic Santa knows if you're nice or naughty.
I don't know about you all, but like, if we really needed to, like, some true psychological punishment, just lock somebody in a room with that thing on loop. Oh my goodness, it is so terrible. Bill from Green Bay saying we're going to resist and rise above in the new year. Bill, I couldn't agree with you more. Somebody from the 262 texting in on my Origin Station, the WAUK 540 AM, saying, hi, Maggie. My two favorite Christmas songs are I Believe in Father Christmas by Greg Lake and Joy to the World by No Doubt. Those are very fun as well. I love them too. Have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, the texter from the 262. Michael from Tosa. Hey, Maggie, have you heard Kip Adada's song, I Saw Daddy Kiss Santa Claus? No, but I'm looking it up after the show. Another texter from WMDX 608, favorite song, Santa Lost a Ho. Oh my goodness. Ho, ho, ho. I will be checking all these out after the show today. Linda from Middleton, favorite is Silent Night by Stevie Nicks. That is a killer rendition. Nat King Cole, hands down the best. Steve from Milwaukee, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, or Joy to the World. Yeah, Nat King Cole, so amazing. Scott from Shorewood found an obscure Christmas album years ago called Christmas on the Border. Love every song. Thank you so much. I can't believe we are out of time. Linda from Middleton shouting out Silent Night. I'm going to give you a tiny little flavor of my favorite. This is Harry Connick's When My Heart Finds Christmas. And I will say goodbye to all of you. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Have a happy holiday. I'll be back in the chair tomorrow. Please tune in. You got the Dom Salvia show up next.
Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will...
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom's back in the house, catching up on a very full week and beginning to look ahead. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 20-year-old Alexander Paffendorf in custody in Southern California. Authorities say he messaged the 15-year-old girl shooter in the mass shooting at a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin, messaged her that he was planning his own attack. Trump speaks, and just like that, we're looking at a government shutdown at the end of the week. The president-elect was pressuring congressional Republicans to drop the short-term funding measure negotiated with Democrats, and Majority Leader Steve Scalise says they're working on a new stopgap funding measure.
There's still a lot of negotiations and conversations going on, but there's no minimum agreement.
The government's funding runs out late Friday night. The Teamsters Union is calling it the biggest ever strike against Amazon. It'll begin before dawn on Thursday. The union accuses Amazon of not negotiating with its members. Amazon accuses the Teamsters of misleading the public. This is ABC News. Getting toys for loved ones for Christmas next week?